Jesus' final days that I have titled. And I want to specifically look at the Gospel of Luke, because the Gospel of Luke we'll share it in a minute. So let's look at verse 33 to 35. Let me go back up to verse 32. Verse 32 starts and says, "Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, 'He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one.' The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' And there was written notice above him, which read, 'This is the King of the Jews.' One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, 'Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other criminal rebuked him, 'Don't you fear God?' he said. 'Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly for what we are getting, what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus answered him, 'I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Luke writes so plainly and so down to earth. And this right here, this Jesus hung between two criminals, is showing that the earthliness of Jesus, the human side of Jesus, the humanity of Jesus, him being just like us, experiencing the same emotions and pains and the criticisms and the rejection by his very own people. And so today we want to talk about, Father, forgive them. We want to bring out what it really means to forgive. And this is a part of Christian theology, because if Christ died for us, forgiving us, shouldn't we also do the same thing? And what does it mean to forgive is what we'll talk about today, and how Jesus brought that out. Jesus did nothing wrong. That's what the criminal, one of the criminals said. He was in between two criminals. And the one criminal says, "We are being paid justly for what we have done. This man has done nothing wrong." And everybody else around Jesus sneered at him, laughed at him. And this was not the only, this was a criminal. This criminal apparently was not a Roman, because the Roman citizens did not hang, did not crucify anybody who was a Roman citizen. They only did it to others as an outward expression of threat, to throw fear into the hearts of those who would act contrary. They killed Roman citizens in other ways, but they crucified anybody else that was not. So this is to say that there is a Jew here, this is an Israelite, that did recognize that at the evening sacrifice, at the time of the sun is going down, he recognized that Jesus was God. He saw his faith. And in a way, he directly said, "Forgive me." How does forgiveness come out? Sometimes forgiveness maybe is not always in words, but it's a person redo an action that they have done. Say, for example, there were mean words said to you, and you were waiting for an apology from the individual to say, "Hey, I'm sorry. I know this wasn't right. It was wrong in how I brought it out. Would you forgive me?" But sometimes a person may come about, and you can walk in your office one morning or whatever, and there is flowers, or there is fruit, or there is a card, or there is a welcome, or something like that. And you read that card or whatever, and it expresses something of their heart, other than maybe the mean things you said, right? He said in a way, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He believed that Jesus was God. He said he had done nothing wrong. We deserve for what we did. So in a way, he was saying, Father, forgive me for what I have done. And you would think that the Jewish nation is a nation that they're the ones that had crucified him. Jesus was treated unfairly. All he did was teach in the temple. All he did was teach in the synagogue. All he did was perform miracles. All he did was trying to be right with God. All he did was trying to revert the system of religiousness and says, that's religion. Religion is anything that does not have the heart of God. It's just you're doing it routinely apart from God. But when you have the heart of God, you have passion involved in it. And you have the Holy Spirit moving upon what you're doing. And so you would think that Israel was with him. And then at one point they were with him when he was popular, when he was coming into Jerusalem. And they thought that he was going to establish his kingdom. And then at the point when they saw him carrying the crucifix, they all turned their back on him and were saying, give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas, crucify him, crucify him. Here's Jesus standing alone in between two criminals, and all of that is probably going through his mind, going through his heart. He says, my disciples turned their back on me. When I was in the Garden of Gethsemane, they didn't pray with me. When I was in the judgment hall, when they were finding and trying to find ways to accuse me and to bring me down, one of them denied me three times. I carried the cross by myself. And he hung there on the cross by himself. Then he had the soldiers at the same time saying, if you are God, come down. And all of this was going on at one time. And while all of that was going on, the Bible says about the ninth hour, darkness came across the whole earth. And you know, when you look at darkness, this was at 3 o'clock. The ninth hour was actually 3 in the afternoon. 3 in the afternoon is the same time that the evening sacrifice in the Old Testament was offered up. They had to present an evening sacrifice before God. They had to do one in the morning and one in the evening. So as the evening comes, 3 o'clock in the afternoon comes, Jesus is hanging there on the cross. Darkness comes across the face of the earth for 3 whole hours. That's a miracle in itself. And as he hung there, he became the sacrifice that a goat or bullock was and placed everything that we did upon him. But I want you to really look at and think about the words forgiveness. He said, Father, in the midst of all of that that was going on, the criticism, the rejection, all of this, the betrayal, and the cowardness, the disciples, and the insults by people who weren't Israel. They were Romans. And all of that went on. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You can write this down. Number one, forgiveness is a miracle. Forgiveness is a miracle. Forgiveness is a miracle because it's truly born out of the heart of pain. When somebody do something to you so bad and so excruciating, it's hard to forgive. But forgiveness is a miracle because it is born out of the pain of emotion and the never, never seeing the image of what it was that an individual has done. For example, a mother has to stand in the courtroom and has to hear the person who killed her son to say that I'm sorry, would you forgive me, before he's sentenced to life in prison. And sometimes you hear family members saying, I forgive you, in the courtroom. And they would shed tears and they would cry. We cannot be Christians, we cannot be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ if we truly do not forgive. So forgiveness is a miracle in itself because it's truly born out of a heart of pain. Jesus processed to become man as God and live in a fallen, corrupt humanity in a world he created perfect and then die by the very creatures of creation he made. It is a miracle for him to say to us, forgive them. Who is the them? Forgive them. Forgive them. Was it just Israel that he says forgive them? Was it the Romans he was saying forgive them? Was it Peter when he was saying forgive them? Was it the mockery at the cross when he was saying forgive them? Forgiveness is a verb. Forgiveness is a verb, and if we look in the Greek tense or the Greek verb tense, it's in the perfect tense, meaning that it is an action that is completed, but it has continual results. It doesn't just stop at one moment. Like in some of the Greek tenses, you can do something like one of the Greek tenses, the aorist tense or the imperfect tense, is an action that could have been completed only in the past. It has passed. It has continual results in the past. But this verb forgiveness is in the perfect tense in the Greek text, meaning that there's nothing else to add to it. It's completed, and because it's completed, it continues throughout the future. It has continuous results. It doesn't just stop. And so what Jesus was saying, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. At the present moment, what they have done to him, because they didn't realize who he really was, the ministry that he brought, the person who he was, he forgave them and he died. Second point is Jesus' forgiveness real? Or how do you know your forgiveness of another brother or sister is real? Once Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then you look in Matthew, he says, into my hands I commit my spirit. He died. Forgiveness means that once you have forgiven them, it dies. What has happened? It dies. Jesus died with the words, forgive them. So if it had not died and you keep expressing it and you keep bringing it up and you keep thinking about it, then it had not died. And you have not truly forgiven, because forgiving is born out of pain, of the emotion of what had happened. It is a miracle. He died. He didn't bring it up no more. It was a present action that had continual results because he buried it all with him. And when he rose, it still continued with him. He was forgiving everybody. Now forgiveness is through his blood. Forgiveness is in his name, Jesus. And it is a miracle in itself. And Jesus' forgiveness was real. And you have to ask yourself, is your forgiveness real or is it just talk? Does it have continual results when you have a bad day? When you come down the road, when you go through a season of persecution or a season of everything is going wrong and you're trying to figure out what's going on, you're trying to keep things all together, are you going to bring back up what somebody has did? Are you going to start accusing and judging and pointing fingers? Are you going to bring that back up? And if you do, then that forgiveness is not real. To forgive is to forget the pain of it. You might not forget the memory of it, but the pain of it. Like I said, miracle, forgiveness is a miracle that is actually born out of the heart of pain. And if you can get that out, you're truly forgiven. And so that's what I was letting you know, that perfect tense in the Greek for forgiveness Jesus has done it. The perfect tense. This action is culminated. What they have done is finished. Now, there's another Greek word by forgiveness. There's two Greek words by forgiveness. One is called charizome or charizomai and alpheme. Charizomai, it means being gracious or kind to somebody. It comes from the root words charizo or charismatic. You ever heard charismatic people? They're very graceful. They're very spirited. They're very kind, they're very giving, they're out to help and do anything. They just feel by the kind actions that they do. They're very charismatic. So that's where that Greek verb comes to forgive. They're forgiving people, they're helping people, they're gracious people. So charizomai means gracious, a kind acting. But the other Greek word for forgiveness or forgive is alpheme. Alpheme, it means to send away. And we just don't want to be charismatic by being gracious and spirited in the presence, but we want to be alpheme. We want to send it away. So that forgiveness means to send away. Where does it come from? It also can mean like, and the husband wanted to divorce his wife. Send away. Divorce is to send away. And Satan left him means he left. To send away means it doesn't come back into your presence. That means it's over. If you divorce, it's over. You sent him away or she sent you away. It's done. And this is what forgiveness is when Jesus says, Father, forgive them. I send whatever they've done, I send it away. It never comes back into my presence at all. That includes debt, trespasses, and blasphemies, and wickedness, and lawless deeds. All of the things, neglecting the commandments of God. All of those things, Jesus says, Father, I forgive them. He was the gift. Before he could die and resurrect, he lived and he taught and he lived the word forgive. He said, before you come to the altar and you have a problem with your brother, he says, leave your gift at the altar, go back to your brother, reconcile with him, then come back to the altar. That's what Jesus did. He was at the altar of death before God, and if he was going to be truly, supremely God himself, he had to forgive the created order he made for putting him to death before he went back to the Father to resurrect. So his gift at the altar of Calvary was, Father, forgive them. And once he did that, he can come back to the altar and God accepted him as that perfect sacrifice. And we have to do that. If you don't believe the Holy Spirit moves, he moves. Sometimes you got to wonder, God, something is going on. I've been going through this season for a while. Things are not working out for me. And if you get in the moment in prayer and you start to pray, God will bring back up the offense or something that you have to go do to reconcile, make it right, and then he'll stop the curse. Remember, David went through that. Remember, David? There was something he did and the plague broke out and all of that and it wouldn't stop and he had to pray to God, what was it? And then God showed him what he did and he had to go make a sacrifice. He had to return the thing around. He had to get it right and then God stopped it. Sometimes you're wondering, God, I don't feel blessed. This isn't working out. That's not working out. What is going on? My children are going haywire for a season. What happened? Then he shows you, it's because you failed to honor me in the sight of the people. What do you mean, God? What did I do? You became God and not me.
"Oh Lord, oh I'm sorry. I'm sorry."
And then sometimes he has us
to go back and as leaders, sometimes you do. You have to confess and there's something I did on last Sunday. Forgive me. It wasn't right. I didn't do it right. I didn't say that right. Forgive me. And once you've done that, God's grace will come right back on you and you'll be blessed.
And so let us learn today that forgiveness is born out of, it's a miracle in itself because it's born out of pain. And secondly, Jesus died forgiving us, and you have to die to what had happened, how it happened, and live. May we stand. Father, thank you this afternoon for your gracious love and your care for us.